So today I just want to cover a few quick things and give some pointers for what you should be preparing in Makif and Nika. So let's start with wrapping up some issues of Hezek Ria. Does anybody have further thoughts on the issue we closed with on Thursday? The question of whether, like, what's the underlying value of Hezek Ria? So we were throwing out a few possible formulations. Anybody have questions on that or further thoughts on how to formulate it? Did it sound good to you guys? More or less persuaded or unpersuaded? What do you think? So what I was endorsing was two different types of theories. The first was, you know, the idea that was somewhat articulated by like Virginia Woolf, that everyone needs just a sphere of privacy in order to be productive, have a certain degree of yeshiva das, etc. The second idea, which is distinct from the first, is that part of being able to develop or part of being a person or developing your personhood is to have spheres of privacy such that you could control the information, not just the information, but how you conduct yourself in the world. I know that was very abstract at the end, but did anybody have thoughts on that or seeking further clarification, right? I think one way of just trying to get an intuitive grasp on that idea is to think of it as, you know, some people, let's say, pride themselves in how they, let's say, get dressed in the morning, right? How they put together their attire or And so you need a sphere of privacy where you're closed off from the world in order to be able to determine how you're going to present yourself out in the world. Skari, you have any thoughts on this?
I thought it was very interesting. I don't know. I'm thinking a little more about it. I don't have so much more concrete things to add.
Okay, great. Anybody else have thoughts on the core, like, Hezek Ria thought? Romy, you must have a thought on this.
It's interesting to me. I guess my one thought is that it's striking to me that the emphasis, it's like kind of not intuitive to me because it basically puts the emphasis on actually not what we're protecting, right? Hezek Ria protects your privacy, not for the sake of really your privacy, but for the sake of your ability to, like, do everything else. Like, it kind of like protects you in the home, so to speak, so that you can be out in the world the way that you want to be out in the world. Which, like, as an idea alone makes sense to me. You know, when I'm thinking about like the cases and things like that we were talking about, it's a little, it doesn't mean it's not, you know, it doesn't make sense, but it is a little interesting that all the cases and the way that it's protecting you are actually never in the situations, like, I mean, whatever, it's protecting those situations so that in the world you can be a different way. You understand why that's a little...
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. So Romy's pointing out that in the second theory, right, the second formulation, privacy almost becomes instrumental, right? It's really just like the privacy stuff is valuable instrumentally so that you could, you know, step out of your home a certain way, right, without people... like filtering the way, like your perception, the way you're perceived in the world. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Anybody else think that that's a problem? Or Zolti, you have a thought on this?
I kind of agree with Romy. I also thought it was not so intuitive, but nothing new.
See, I think it is very intuitive when you link it to the tzniut, like the paradigm of tzniut sometimes that we think of, right? Why? Like when a person is going to the bathroom or when they have like biological things that they're doing in private, it makes sense that that shouldn't be part of the way the world sees you. I don't know. Does that, like, it would be against the dignity of personhood if that was like a public action. So I think that's what helps motivate it. But okay, we can think more about this. Ned, you have thoughts on it?
I just say that even if you say it's more utilitarian or
instrumental,
instrumental. You could say that the pursuit of the pursuit of that value itself is still an imperative. So it's not so pragmatic. It's not just utilitarian. It's also.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me say further. I'm gonna share my screen again to go back to the Rambam that I closed with last time. I'm just gonna use this this source sheet. So I'll share this source sheet with everybody afterwards. So look at the Rambam in Hilchos Deos Hei Vav. Snias gedola noagin t'mechcham ba'atzman lo yisbaziv lo yisgal roshan bo gufan v'afilu b'shash yikanes lebeis akisa yetzanuav lo yigal b'gadav achi yeshev etc. etc. v'yisrachek mikol adam v'yikanes cheder lefnim yicheder ma'ar lefnim yino ma'ar v'nefana etc. etc. So I thought there's also a dimension here of sneas between a person and himself. Did you guys get that sense from this Rambam? And I don't know, sometimes people talk this way, how like they close certain things off from themselves. Anybody have that experience or hear people say like, whether it's a memory or something like that, right? It's something that like you don't want to dwell on because people want to perceive themselves a certain way or whatever it is. So they decide like which memories they pick out to be more prominent in their minds. And I think that's like a similar type of idea over here, right? Even the way you present yourself to yourself has this notion of privacy where you choose like which aspects of yourself loom more prominent. All right, that's all I'm going to say about this idea. Anybody else wants to follow up? You know, feel free to follow up now or forever hold your peace. No further thoughts on the underlying Hezekria value discussion? Okay. Oh, Romy.
I was actually just going to say that I'm thinking about it a little bit more now. Like, when the Rambam talks about going to the bathroom and things like that, like, that actually makes sense to me. Kind of when you, right, if you were to be like, and again, like the like Rosh Hashiva, like the example that you're giving last time also makes sense. Like if you saw people in certain contexts, then like you can't, I'm sorry for the example, but it kind of makes me think of like, if you go to the mikvah and see like the Alon Shrut mikvah kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah, this goes back to Bezulti's pre-Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Right. WhatsApp, Malachit's Chus on the Minog. Yeah, go ahead.
So like that actually, then that like makes more sense to me, right? Because once you, again, that doesn't have to be that extreme of an example, but once you see people in certain contexts doing certain things, then like that totally changes the way that you think about them and like in a really important way. Now that argument becomes a little bit harder for me when you're talking about like the average person, because it doesn't necessarily, you know, then I think like the thresholds for what would or wouldn't be appropriate or wouldn't violate, you know, Hezekria would then change. I don't know exactly how that works, but
maybe, but I would say then it's just a matter, like you could distinguish as a matter of degree rather than a matter of kind for like the, like people who I guess you're not supposed to hold in such like such a high pedestal or level of authority.
What do you mean by that?
You could actually think, I'm wondering, maybe this is pushing it too far. You might even be able to contextualize like Tsunusa Dinashi in that type of framework also, the type of framework that Romy's pointing out. If you assume that some degree, like some aspects of Tsunusa Dinashi are such that a person shouldn't see a woman, certainly like someone's wife or married woman, as an object of desire. Right. So the halacha like closes off that part of a person's life from public view. So then it's not so different from like, you know, the example of the Talmud Chacham and the Beis Akisei, right, where like it's important that how he steps into the street is different from like just the, like how a person has to exist as a human being, right? With all like the biological needs, etc. Okay, so I think there's more to think about here. I'm glad that Romy's coming around a little bit. Any other thoughts? Karya thoughts? Ned, Benji, Kobe, Shmuel, Ariel, Rafi?
Maybe just like one thing. Again, not so big off. I wonder how the factor of like, you know, like, oh, Bnei Yisrael, like by Shunem Haim, like the aspect of like personal busher, just the very fact that people don't want to be observed is itself something that like, you know, Halacha is going to respect. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly if I'm getting down to the core of what this bashfulness is about, but sort of just like, you know, desire to not be exposed.
Yeah, I think you get that. I think that's the pashup shot in a lot of Rishonim. If you're not trying to go deeper, like when they talk about there's a certain sar, right? Remember we saw that language in Rabbeinu Gershom, I think, like inish tsnia bibase, right, or something like a person is as a private creature, like a person like closes himself off in his home. And there are ways of reading those languages, those formulations in the Rishonim as meaning that look, just it's a fact of human psychology that we're stressed out when we're under surveillance, and that's all this comes down to. Right. And I think that's not trivializing it at all. Right. There's a way of reading even what I was calling the Virginia Woolf type theory as being about that. Like we just don't function well when we don't have spheres of privacy, whether it's because we're stressed out or because like we feel discomfort. But I think that's totally consistent with your points, Farah. OK, great. I wanted to now just make a few isolated points to tap into parts of our discussion that we had. So we were a little critical of Rabbi Lam for trying to ground privacy in Have Domelo and imitating Hashem's attributes, right? So I came across, I was doing some more reading. I was, stumbling across different things. As luck happens, I bumped into these fellows who were writing a paper on Hezek Ria, actually in English. So they sent me what they're working on and I skimmed through it. And they quote Rav Schechter in Nefesh HaRav as quoting the Rav as having made like a similar point to Rabbi Lam about the imitatio dei Hezek Ria flowing from copying Hashem's midos. I don't think that makes the argument any better. But just worth looking at this. This is an English translation of Nefesh HaRav right here. So let's look at it. Can you guys see my screen? Yeah. Okay. So they quote the Rav. This is really, the citation goes to Nefesh HaRav, page 280-281. The sages taught the most sacred divine name is concealed. This is the Hashem's quality of tznius. He dwells in concealment, hidden in darkness, and for this reason gazes from amid the lattices. That's a quote of Meitzitz Menacharakim. He hides himself from his world, concealed from everything, and not revealed in public before the eyes of all. And this comportment is a kind of piety of which this tznius is part. All the sages of Israel conducted themselves with this quality. So now you're moving to the Chachamim. And so it was with all the great people of Israel, the Tanaim, the earlier and later authorities, the Rishonim and Achronim. The study of Torah took place before all in public, but their private lives, the better for them to be private, Tzanua, like the qualities of Hashem. And then the article cites Rav Schechter as saying that the Rav linked this quality to modern privacy protection, concluding that in light of the doctrine of tznius, the idea of publishing announcements in the newspapers and the notion of publicity, all of this is totally against the outlook of Judaism. So I think Romy would caution us about mixing different types of privacy. So for example, the Rav does say, you know, there's this Torah, I guess, took place in public, but the private lives of the Tanaim was always private. But, you know, the Rav says this idea of like, I guess seeking publicity is against the Torah's outlook, right? So I don't know what the Rav would say about, you know, I guess rabbis being on Instagram and Twitter. But, you know, it seems something along those lines, that this is this value of tznius stems from the fact that Hashem is tsanua and just, you know, peeks through the lattices. Ariel, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Gemara in Chagiga. I forgot who it was sleeping under his Rebbe's bed, and then his Rav found out, and he said, poke me, Bo.
Yeah, that was Rav Kahana, right? With the story of Rav Kahana. Right, you're saying that's like a weird mixing of boundaries.
Or the whole idea that, as Rav said, there's certain areas of my life that I don't want you to interfere with. Like, you can follow me everywhere, but not inside my house type of thing.
Right, right. That's good. Okay, so I think this is consistent a little bit with Rabbi Lam's presentation, right? About the Havei Domelo. Ned, Zocharo Soish Latov. Ned was enthusiastic about this from the beginning. Right, Ned? So I guess now you have the...
I think I was more just interested in the effort to sort of ask the why question than any particular explanation.
Okay, good. I would say just the Rav here just talks about privacy, which I think is good. Rabbi Lam talks about like a mysteriousness of man. Like there's a value in remaining mysterious. I think mysterious is the wrong word, right? It has like the wrong connotations. But either way, it's a similar enough theory. Shmuel, you agree? Yeah. Are you more into it just because the Rav said it, or?
No, actually, I think Rabbi Lam did a better job of connecting this to Hezekiah. I like really see very little connection. Like, it's a great idea. It's a great concept for Tznius, but like he doesn't make the jump from Tznius to Hezekiah. So I'm less convinced here. But
oh, I hear that.
I'm very glad that Ned was able to bring this all to our attention. Got to defend my Chavrusa here. So, shout out to Ned.
Stand up for him. Great. Okay, so then what I wanted to, for I guess what Ned called the why question and what's the underlying value in Hezekiah. Now I just wanted to move to wrap up a few things about related privacy issues in halacha. So one of the things that was interesting about the Rabbi Lam article is the attempt to put together all these different areas of halacha into like a unified theory of privacy. Of course, Romy's objection to that is that it's really just a disunified theory of privacy because none of these halachos really hang together. I just wanted to follow up on two interesting sources, I guess three categories to look at inside quickly, other aspects of privacy that might be related. So Rabbi Lam had mentioned the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, the Chirim de Rabbeinu Gershom, about not reading each other's mail. I mentioned that I wanted to dig up the original formulation. So there's this long chew of the Marami Rutenberg where he mentions many Takanos and Ashkenaz, beginning with Chirim de Rabbeinu Gershom and some of Rabbeinu Tam and some of later Rishonim. So there's a one-liner here in the Chuvas Marami Rutenberg, Simon Elef Chaf Beis, and he says, Chirim, Shelo liros biksav chavero, shasholech lechavero v'lo yediaso, aser. So it's prohibited to peer or view a letter that your friend sends to somebody else without his knowledge. Okay, so that really doesn't shed any light on the nature of the prohibition at all, right? Do you guys agree with that? So, but. Here's the formulation for all it's worth. So again, it's an interesting question how that relates to other privacy things. Certainly, this is a type of informational privacy. But again, I agree with Romy that it's not obvious at all that this is the same type of privacy that connects to Hezekiah. One other mucker that I just thought was interesting and worthwhile bringing to your attention is this Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Here, he's also talking about informational privacy, so closer to the Rabbeinu Gershom type of privacy. And in Shar Gimel, Simon Reish Chaf Hei, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Chayiv ha'adam lahastir hasod asher yagala elav chavero derech seser. Somebody tells you something in confidence or in secret, you have a duty to keep it private, even if there's no rechilus involved in divulging the secret. Why is that? Disclosing this type of information could cause harm to the proprietor of the information. And one thing that's really interesting here is that Rabbi Nuyona emphasizes, I thought this quote is really interesting. Anybody want to just read that for us? Why is it, why are you prevented from divulging this kind of information? Skari, you want to just tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, Vashenis, ki hamgala hasod, ach yatsa miderech hasnios, v'nehu ma'avir aldas ba'al hasod. So the one who reveals the secret, so that person is leaving the path of Snias, and he's also violating the, you know, the will of the person who has the secret.
Yeah, I think the first part of that formulation is more interesting. And he's Yotze Miderech Hatznias. Chaya, do you have any sense what that means? Or
Yeah, I mean, he's just not acting. He's acting in a way that, you know, breaking down the Gidron Shel Yisrael in a sense of just like, you know, of that people should be private and, you know, and yeah,
that's right. It sounds almost like it's just you've, you're undermining this like communal value of Tznius. That's right. Or this sense of Tznius, like just preserving the overall privacy of individuals. So I think what's striking here is the use of that term Tznius to refer to informational privacy. I thought that was very striking and really a new type of application for us. Zolti, do you have a hand on this?
Yeah. So you understand when he says Ach Yatsa Miderech Snias, that's like a communal snias in that sense, that like, oh.
Go ahead, Zolti. You can flesh it out.
Oh, no, because I was thinking maybe there's like, he could be saying that there's like an alternative where like Snias is kind of just not, it's like a two-way street. Not only are you not supposed to be too revealing, but you shouldn't be too, you know, too nosy, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. Part of Snias is like respecting the spheres of privacy, something like that.
Right. But I wouldn't say like, oh, because it's like, you know, undermining the communal value of Snias. And that's
yeah. You could put it more in terms of the individual. I'm okay with that. I think just what's shocking here, or what I take to be novel, is that it's just about information here, right? Like not gossiping, not being in each other's business is a form of tznius, right? And I think that's what Zecharia meant by the communal dimension here, right, Zecharia? Yeah. So are we in agreement? This is a pretty interesting extension of the idea of tznius. I think the one thing that helps about this formulation is like to push back on Romy a little bit. Like you really might think that this is totally disparate from the Hezek Ria type. Of privacy, there's something about him using the word snias to capture like rechilos type of lashon hara type things, which I think unifies it and brings it back closer to the snias of Hezek Ria. Rami, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I just don't know that I think that makes sense. Meaning, it's true that the using that word does that. Yeah.
You think it doesn't make sense?
Meaning, it's true that by using that word, you put it more in that category. But I don't know that, like, that's not intuitive to me either, that I would have used that word. But yeah, to the meaning, once he does, then I agree.
Zolti, do you think it's intuitive that this could fit within the, like, the framework of the Hezek Ria type of tznias? Just, you know, recognizing spheres of privacy and non-intrusion of individuals?
Yeah, I think it can make sense. I think it is.
Yeah, but definitely gives us a little more to think about, you know, these different types of tznius coming together, different aspects of privacy belonging to the same genre or to the same underlying value. Okay, so that's those are two. Oh, Noah has a hand. Noah, you should know that I thought of you again on Friday because I drove past Allentown.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't. I could take a picture and send it out on my way home.
Allentown was featured in the Jewish Link this week for anybody who's interested in moving. Yeah, so I wanted to go back to the one line Maharam before we moved on. I thought it was interesting that he uses the word liros.
We're going back to the line where
the Maharam.
Oh yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, it was like interesting that I don't know, it could just be confirmation bias, but I thought it was interesting that he used the word lyros as opposed to like lycros. You know, maybe that's intentional. Maybe there's just like, you know, that's just the word usage.
And your idea is that this is a type of hesychoria, meaning to bring it back into like the viewing is the problem.
Yeah, the problem is viewing, not reading. You know, I don't know if I'm making a duke. I'm just saying it's interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you why. I'm very sympathetic to Noah's point because it's really long and annoying chuvasmaram to find something in. So I was trying to find the part about this aspect of Chayim Demarigish. So I was like searching like Likros, Igeres, I don't know, couldn't find it, right? So I had to read through the whole thing to find the one line talking about, and then he uses Ria, and I'm like, okay, that's why I couldn't find it. So I'm definitely sympathetic to that. And I think that's also, that is very interesting. Because you might think it's really just about the informational content, right? And that's why it's Isser Likros, to like know what he's writing, what he's talking about. Shalo Liros might just sound more like closer to Hezekiah. It's like the surveillance itself that's bothersome and offensive.
Yeah, or just like transgressing a certain boundary that shouldn't be crossed.
Right, rather than just like the fact of obtaining privileged information. Yeah, that's a nice idea. Thanks for pointing that out now. Good. Okay. So now I want to just make a brief point about Hezek Shmia. We could think of this as related to just this same question we've been addressing until now, which is unifying different aspects of privacy. So the Gemara itself was interested in Hezek Ria, but then some Rishonim raise this question of Hezek Shmia. How does Shmia fit in? I agree now with the Haros that guys made 2 Shiurim ago, that Hezek Shmia is talking about hearing conversations rather than Hezek Kol of like just the noise disturbance that Zilti was talking about in the Heights. Right, Zilti, are you coming on board for that?
I think either way could work. Sure. I mean, yeah.
Okay, but it seems to me that certainly these post-gim, Miri, maybe it's an open question, are thinking in terms of hearing the content of conversations. So let's look back at the Meiri. The Meiri on Daf Beis, in his discussion of Hezek Shmia, said that even a minimal fence is sufficient to get rid of Hezek Ria, and we're not choshesh for Hezek Shmia. Rotze lomar shehakol nichnas misham lekan. I think the idea being that you'll overhear pieces of conversation. Clear lehedya will come in clearly, as Zacharia pointed out last time. Mitoch dakus hamachitza, because of the thinness of the wall. And the reason why we're not concerned for that is shestam b'nei adam nisharim b'diburam hein. I guess the idea is that people are careful enough to not raise their voice when they don't want their conversation to be overheard. So we could almost think of this as Al hanizak laharchek atzmo, right? So given this general fact that people conduct conversations in softer tones, we're not going to impose the burden on the listener to avoid hearing those things. The burden stays with the conversants to keep their voices down. Are you guys in agreement about that reading of the Miri? I think that's like a good reading. Okay. Another source that I mentioned is the Re'im, Rabbi Elia Mizrahi in his Chuvos. And he says, the Re'im is like a late Rishon after the expulsion of Spain. I think he's like a grandson of the Tashbates. And he says, the Ein Taina Mehashmiya Sheshomim Zelazeh. Don't think that there's a Taina based off hearing each other's conversations. So this is the principle that intrigued Zacharia. You know, the Gemara is never explicit about this. And then he cites the Ramban, who says, we don't care about the thickness of the wall. The only reason why we care about the thickness of the wall is for the permanence of the wall. But we don't care about the wall blocking noise. Because had the Gemara been concerned about Shmia, it would have required this thicker type of wall, etc. So the Mizrahi seems to say that Hezek Shmia is not a thing at all. And Kiveger cites the Mizrahi as holding this way on Simen Kufn and Dalit and Shulchan Aruch, where there's Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Loyiftach Adam Chalon, Samach Chatzar Chaveiro. He cites the Reim, the Hezek Shmia, Lo Shemana de Shmei Hezek. So Hezek Shmia is not a thing. So what do you guys make of that Maskana? That Hezek Shmia is not a thing? So, there are two ways to approach it. One way is to say that just that's not a protected sphere of privacy at all, conversations. The other way is just to go in the direction of the Meiri to say, well, maybe it is, but the burden, it's like a Rabbi Yossi ala Nizak lahar chigatzmo, right? Given just the facts about human conversation, it makes more sense to impose the responsibility on the talker than on the listener. This could be a major theme when we get to the second parak about just as between the mazik and the nizak, who has to bear the cost of protecting against it. So I think it's a bit of an open question whether Bikivager and the Mizrahi are rejecting that there's any value of Hezek Shmia, or they're just saying that the burden falls on the Nizak rather than on the listener. Thoughts on this, guys? About how to read it?
I don't think from the Ra'im he's really trying to say like that it's a Lo Shmei Hezek. The Eger's definitely kind of I'm leaning towards this, the former thing that was like, oh, Shmia is not something that we either consider a harm or a legislatable harm. But the Mizrahi is talking about, you know, in Chatzeros, are we choshesh for this concern when we're building this wall? It's much more, I feel like this much more narrow kind of discussion.
So you're saying Rikiger's formulation is much more categorical, that Hezek Shmia is Lav Shmei Hezek.
Right. Well, the Reim is saying this is not a factor we consider in the one particular case of Chatzer to Chatzer walls.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way of putting it. So you see a fundamental disagreement between the Ra'im and the Kivager. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And some people are reading the Meiri, we'll see in a second, as saying, oh, Hezek Shmia is a thing, just not when it's like casual conversation from Chatzer to Chatzer. Right? But there are cases where Hezek Shmia would become Shmei Hezek. So let me just point you to one formulation along those lines. Second. Excuse me. Yeah. So there's this, I don't know if anybody knows the Chashuke Chemed. Am I familiar with that sefer? Yeah, he usually has like good stories and good Shalosh Shittos stories related to Chosh Mishpat issues. Anybody come across the Chashuke Chemed? Yeah, okay. So he I guess, had this question. Hayim mutar lahazin l'sichos shnei b'nei adam k'sheinam margishim bo. So could he eavesdrop, right? So the question, Shnei Anashim HaMesochim Beinehem, Hayim Mutar Lahazin Lahem. And similarly, if you suspect somebody of trying to harm you, could you plant like a listening device to, I guess, forefend against the harm that he's trying to impose on you? So Tshuva, Kazha B'shut HaRe'im, so So I guess Zachariah would disagree and say, no, there's a difference between the Rame's formulation and Rabbi Kivager's formulation. Right, Zachariah?
Yeah, lower inu raya.
Right. Ulam, so look at this. Bim'iri babasra kasav, blah, blah, blah. V'lechora nechok, so you can cite some ear, and this is v'lechora nechoku bedavar. Sheladas ha'mi'iri yesh hezek shmiya, v'rak ein lachshosh lehezek zeh, kivin shepen adam nisharim bediburam, v'lereim eim beze hezek klaus. So that's actually an interesting diak, somewhat conciliatory to Zachariah's diak in the Ein Rabbi Kivager. What's his idea here? What's his distinction between the Miri's formulation and the Uraim's formulation? What's his thought? Zolti?
He says that the Miri holds that there actually is Hezek occurring. It's just that it's not on the Mazik. I guess they have to really be cautious about it. But the Nizak, according to their aim, there's no Hezek happening at all.
Exactly. Or like the Meiri is only limited to scenarios of like hearing over a chatzer. We're not going to impose this into the structure. We're not going to impose Hezek Shmiya into the dinim of building a wall between chatzeros, but a Hezek Shmiya in principle is Shmei Hezek. Right, Daniel? Yeah. Whereas for the Reim, a Hezek Shmiya is Lav Shmei Hezek, like in principle. Yeah, it's pretty interesting debates. Har, you probably like that, Diak, right?
Yeah, no, there's an interesting way to frame it.
Yeah. And so notice, like Rabbi Lam, I guess all these Achronim are thinking clearly Hezek Shmiya not in the kol sense. Hezek Shmiya in terms of the substance of the conversation. At least Shuke Chemet for sure is thinking in those terms. Then he cites the Shidduchos Ketanos. Remind me to tell you about my good marker on the Shidduchos Ketanos a different time on a different sugya. And the Shidduchos Ketanos, like an important early modern Achron, was asked, Mashenogim lichtov agabi ha'igro supore tzgeder yishachenu nachash. So I guess people would write this as a way of saying don't read, right? Or confident. That was the equivalent of confidential. So tshuva b'lav hachinir sheyesh iser levakei shelachapis mistorev shel chavero. Right? It's there's just a general iser. You don't need somebody to write confidential on it. There's a general iser to intrude into your friend's secrets. And he says mali lo selech rachel lachir mol atzmo. That's a really interesting. Makar. So he's like, Lo zelech rachel amecha is not just from you to others, but even it applies to information gathering of your own. Right? You're learning your friend's secrets is a kind of Lo zelech rachel in and of itself. Isn't that clever? Yeah, that's a nice analysis. So Rabbi Zilberstein here concludes, Harei she'adam ha'mazon l'sichas chavero over b'zemishim Lo zelech rachel. So again, just connecting it to this type of Hezek Shmi analysis. Okay, I'm not gonna go deeper into this Chashuke Chemed, but I thought that's another dimension. First of all, he's important in distinguishing between the Shmei Hezek, Lav Shmei Hezek within Hezek Shmiya, the difference between the Meiri and the Reim. And then secondly, it's just interesting that he connects this to the informational privacy that the Hilchos Ketanos has of Hezek Shmiya, Lo Selech Rachel, in learning about your friend's conversations. Great. Any thoughts on the expansion of privacy to these other areas? The Hezek Shmiya discussion. Okay, that's basically what we were discussing in the Rabbi Lam article, and we could think more about how these relate to each other. I now want to make two last comments, and then again, feel free anybody else to raise any haros on what we covered so far in the Hezek Riya discussion. So I want to make one comment on the relationship between the Isser and the Shame Neza. So like the tort component of Hezek Riya and the Isser component. Okay. So the Pesach Einayim, which is the Chidah on Babasar Daf Samech, quotes the Gemara of Bilam Bayaris Yisrael Shochim L'Shvatav, and he says, Pirshu HaMefarshim. Well, guys, just take a second to read this phrase. Kobe, want to read this for us? Pirshu HaMefarshim?
Pirshu HaMefarshim, De'ein Kedachayim Mefavanim Kidei Shelo Yishtakel B'Nashim, right? V'chol Matam Shata Mote Yigedit Eva Ata Mote Kedusha V'Ashurat Ashrin, right? So like anywhere you find that people are like being careful, whatever, you find like Kedusha and the resting of the Shekhinah.
Yeah, the excellent. So what do you get from this interpretation? What's he doing that's striking?
He's very much connecting maybe Hezekiah or maybe to a very specific form of Sniut or like of Erva really.
Yeah, great. So number one, like our reading of the Yad Arma, Snisa Dinashi, he explicitly interprets Vayashla Shokhan Mishvata, the value of Ain Fiskei Mukhovanim, it's Kadesh Lo Yastaklu Benashim. That's number one, which you know, doesn't seem to comport with the general Hezekiah theory. But moreover, Kobe, what do we get from here in the second part? And therefore, Mikal Makom.
That means it's like some idea of Kedusha. This is like the getter of Erva is a meaning.
Yeah. So whenever you move away from Erva, whenever you make a wall before Arayos, which is consistent with his interpretation of Shlo Yistak Benashim, you find Kedusha and Hashras Hashchina. So he's taken this very much in this Yerdea Evan Ezer direction, and that explains why there's Kedusha, right? Matovu Alecha Yaakov. I guess the problem is, right, his interpretation is like so difficult to square with like the just the mamonist part, the tort part of Hezekiah. No? Kobe, do you agree?
Yeah, it seems to be weird to have like some sort of like you're able to like sue your neighbor or whatever in court because he wasn't careful about Erva and therefore God didn't rest amongst the Jewish people. Like it doesn't seem to line up so well.
Yeah, so in the next part, he gets tripped up on that. He says, so what does this have to do with Hezek, Ria, Shmei Hezek, or Lav Shmei Hezek? Right, and actually remember we saw Rabbeinu Gershom, who said Hezek, Ria, Shmei Hezek, and he cited the Gemara in Daf Samech of, you know, Vayar, Asishal, Shochem, and Shvatav, connecting the Mumminous part with what's going on in Daf Samech. So what does the Chida here say, Kobe? Mishamati, blah, 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 Shayim Medakdik.
Shayim Medakdik, I'll call my yell is the Hezek, Ria, Have a Hezek. He connects as it's only Hezek for some Kedusha reason, maybe removing Kedusha. It seems like it's very different than any other kind of Hezek you would ever think of.
Exactly, right. So the Chida's point is, wait a second, if this is about Arayos and Kedusha, what does it have to do with Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek? Right, it seems like a totally different principle. You guys see that? Yeah. So what does he answer? So he says something pretty interesting. I'll pause here 1 second. So he says, oh, Hezek Re'ia is Kisha Echad Kidim, when one person opens a window against his neighbor. So it's one directional. Aval Shnayim Poskim Bevasachas Ein Echad Yachol Limchos. So the thought is that if there's reciprocal Hezek Re'iyah, there's no mamonist violation. Because it's almost like their actions neutralize each other. This is a very strange thought, just because in the Zikin in general, we don't say that if I'm mazik you, then you could be mazik me. Like there's nothing about the reciprocality of it that permits it. So, but his thought right here is that there's only Hezek Ria if it's one directional, but if two people do it at the same time, I guess there's a type of mechila. And then he wants to say, yes, he wants to say, which is very strange, that Bilam was only praising Bnei Yisrael for the Arayos component of Hezek Ria. meaning that even though it would have been totally okay from a Hezekiah perspective for everybody to open their windows against each other at the same time, what Bilam was praising them for was for the Geder Erva and Kedusha component, that they abided by that. Right, so what you get in this chida is actually a very complete separation from the Isser dimension, from the Mamonis dimension. Ned, do you have a hand on this?
Yeah, about your point about how in other cases in Ezekiel, we don't really take reciprocity into account. I mean, here it's just a simultaneity that's we're not coming to fix anything. It's just de facto the damage was equal, and now we're not going to pursue any further action.
Your thought here is that just here we're not going to pursue further action,
right? Because meaning the checkbook's already balanced.
So right, so whatever he was mazik you reciprocally are mazik him. So it's like we're in a an interim equilibrium or something like that.
Yeah,
that's a fair read. So just the point that I wanted to take from this chida is again an interesting makar that's very clear about the total sundering of the shame isser from the shame mammon component. And I think that is put some pressure on what we saw in Rabbi Lam, who was trying to say that Hezekiah is stronger because it's not just mammon, it's also an isser. This chida is pretty clear that these are separate dimensions of the of privacy, not related to each other. Okay? Great. I want to make one last point, and you guys should feel free to raise any other comments after I make this point. So I want to come back to the Ramban. Give me one second. Give me one second to pull up the Ramban. Second, here we go. Okay, so the last point I just want to make here about this is about this Ramban on Nintes. So we spoke about this already in terms of being a very important formulation of Hezekiah's Hezekiah Guf as like bona fide Nezikin. The Ramban compares to Kutram based Lakizay, really building off the Rif's analysis. He seems to say that he's who Atzmo is Nizak. Umitzta'er, so we get that good language of tsar. It's nizik and beguf. And these are very, very nice formulations from the Ramban. Ramban said that Hezekiah is nizke adam ba'adam hu. Do you guys see the Ramban here? Yeah, okay, good. But then I just want to come back to this triple formulation that the Ramban had in giving content to Hezekiah. Imishum ayin ra, imishum leshnabisha, imishum sniusa. So, what I find intriguing about the Ramban coming back to it now is a response to again to Romy's point, Romy's comment on the Rabbi Lam article about the different dimensions of privacy being really separate from each other. To my mind, it's just so striking that the Ramban is totally happy to lump these very different dimensions of Hezekiah together. Right, and earlier when we saw the Ramban, I characterized him as a pluralist about Hezekiah because it's underwritten by these very different values like Ayin Ra, Lishna Bisha, Sniusa. I think we all agree that those are separate underlying considerations, right? Ayin Ra seems to be the concern of people seeing your property and being upset by your success, right? Or being jealous of your success. Lishna Bisha, what is Lishna Bisha? Anybody want to tell us, what is Lishna Bisha? I'm sorry. What is Lishna Bisha?
Lashon Hara.
Yeah, Lashon Hara. So Ned, what is Lashon Hara?
Rechilut, I don't know. Like, what is Lashon Hara? What do you mean?
Well, just describe it. Like, what would you say is lashon hara in the context of this Ramban?
So people are going to say certain things if they have access to private information.
People are going to say certain things if they have access to private information. Romy for sure would not have characterized that as part of hezekriah, right? So like, what shaychus, right? How does the Ramban slip that in here as, hezekriah is nisgeyadim ba'adam, yimishamayin ra, yimisham lashon abisha. So I think this is another place where the informational privacy gets related to the hezekriah, gets contained within the hezekriah type of privacy explicitly in the Rishonim, right? So you have to say it for the Ramban. It's not just the fact that like somebody sees what you're doing that is problematic. The seeing is instrumentally problematic in that it generates unwanted conversation about your stuff. Another way of thinking about the point that I'm making here is that it's the parallel of what we observed in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah talked about revealing people's secrets as a kind of tznius violation. And so the Ramban is doing something similar here, saying that talking about other people's property is one of the reasons why hezekriah is problematic. So we have two hands here. We have Zolti and then Romy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember which Rishon it was. We discussed earlier, like earlier semester, about how like looking into someone's business, right? By having someone like looking into the business of someone else's field, right? You could see like their business secrets, and you might be able to like.
Yeah, that was the Smad's formulation and the Prisha. Same person, just one on the tour, one on the Shachar. Right, the Hasagas Gavul component. People are going to learn his trade secrets. Yeah, so that fits nicely with this, Zolti, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like another example of lashon abishan, I guess, and like information stealing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the Ramban is a really important shita for getting that informational privacy, the kind that relates to hezek, shmiya, et cetera, as part of hezekriah. And that fits very nicely with the Ramban's pluralism about hezekriah in general, right? Imishim ayinra, imishim lashon abisha, imishim sniusa. Like, there are all these different values that underlie hezekriah, and they're all just like one big theory of privacy. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I just think it's a little bit misleading to say that lashon abisha is about information, because it's not about if it's true, and it's not about somebody really revealing things about me. It's about me being damaged by people's words. I don't think that's the same thing as my information being shared with people.
Well, so you think that the lashon abisha leads directly to hezek? Is that the?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, it's, we just described lashon abisha as lashon hara. So if we're really going with that definition, then it's not necessarily things that are true, and it's not necessarily that I'm being exposed in any real way. It's just that you're hurting me with your words, with totally made up things.
Okay, so you're saying the fact that it relates to hurting you with your words, what does that show?
Well, my point is that part just means there is damage that's being caused. So that's not exactly relevant to this. My point is actually, if it's not necessarily true, then it's not about revealing information about me in a way that's like, oh, privacy violation because you're revealing information about me, because you might be making up something that's totally not true and you haven't shared any personal information. It's like, it's one thing to say, oh, this person, he has this like really bad health condition and you should, whatever. That would be, revealing personal information, or I don't know. That's not the same thing as saying just not nice things about a person that are totally not true, which I'm totally motivated to cause damage. I just don't think it's a violation of privacy.
Right, but the Ramban here is thinking that seeing into people's property, hezekriah, is grounded in, at least partially grounded in, that value of lashon abisha. Right, so it does seem like access to people, seeing people's estates and their property, is causally related to the lashon abisha concern for the Ramban.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's because you'll see something that you'll then reveal, like, or you'll be like, oh, there was, I don't know, like cleaning lady in his house, and he was there, maybe he's having an affair. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not the same thing as actually revealing information about him.
But I think it all is, it all has to flow from some information that you gleaned from seeing into his domain. Otherwise, right. Totally unrelated to Hezekiah.
Right. I guess I'm, so yeah, then you can argue that, but again, then the Hezekiah part is the part that's invasion of privacy. The Lishon Bisha part is not about privacy. It, meaning it's not actually about, or it is about privacy. It's not about revealing information. So
well, let's put it this way, right? It's privacy from people. You're entitled to the privacy from people talking about you.
Yeah, I would even disconnect it more. I would say you're entitled to privacy so that people don't talk about you.
Interesting.
The conversation itself is, I don't think you can use this to say that, you know, revealing, you know, privacy, revealing information about somebody is has a career kind of thing.
It's interesting. To my mind, this supports the connection between the re'ia component and like the informational, like people get it, have spreading information about you, right? Because what's wrong about the re'ia is not just the seeing, right? It's the knowledge that they gain through seeing, which they can then spread. And
the word you added was knowledge, right? Is it the knowledge that they gain, or is it like they saw something and now they're going to talk about it?
It's fodder for people's conversations.
Right. But that doesn't mean it's about, it's right. To me, the nafkamina is the truth, right? So if it was true, right? If you saw something that was true and you were telling everybody about it, and that's what Lishon Bisha was, then I would think that, yeah, okay, you can argue that, you know, personal information, you know, real personal information has a great, yeah. But if Lishon Bisha is just Lashon Hara, just people talking about people, you know, things, then it's not about revealing information, that's about hurting people with your words.
Yeah, so Romy's Lishitasso in trying to keep like Hezekiah, it's a self-contained category, right? Not it doesn't bleed into the disclosure of information and Lashon Hara, etc. Yeah. Anybody sympathetic to my reading of the Ramban to connect the two? Raise your hand. Okay, Benji's on my side. Anybody else sympathetic to my reading of the Ramban? Okay, good. We got a few more hands here. So. Doesn't mean you're not sympathetic to Romy. It just means that you're also sympathetic to my reading. Okay, those are the comments that I wanted to make on Hezekiah here. Anybody else have any thoughts they want to share? I'm just going to spend 5 minutes talking about the new Sugya just to give you some pointers. Anybody else have thoughts or haros on Hezekiah they want to share? Skaria, any big thoughts on, or Noah while we have you? Any Hezekiah comments? Okay, so this was a good discussion. So I just want to I'm going to take 2 minutes just to point us for the sugya. Is everybody up to Daf Dalet on the base now, Makif and Yika? Okay, great. So I would say that there are three issues that we want to nail down in this sugya. Number one is just, it's if you saw that long discussion in the Ramban and the Balmor and the Machamos, there's a whole debate about what the exact case is, like in what sense the Makif is surrounding the Nikaf. And is the wall here for Hezekiah? Is the wall here to protect animals from trespassing? So just try to get a little bit of a handle on that issue. Like, what's this wall for? So does this bear on Hezekiah at all, or are we outside of Hezekiah land? That's one issue. We're not going to spend so much time on that, but it's bear it in mind because it could shed some light on Hezekiah. Specifically, the issue being that even if there's no chiv to build a wall under Hezekiah, might there still be a basis to reclaim or recover the cost of the wall because it confers a Hezekiah benefit? Or to put that point slightly differently, even when there's no Hezekiah obligation, is Hezekiah still considered a benefit? Being protected from Hezekiah, is that considered an absolute benefit that you convert? The second major question in the sugya here that you should keep your eyes open for is, what's the halachic basis for recovering costs when you confer a benefit on another party? So if you guys saw, did everybody see the Numa Koro sheet? Did everybody see that? I linked it on the Canvas homepage. Zachary, maybe you could just put the link and put it in the WhatsApp group for the news source sheet. I linked the sugya in Bava Metzia Kuf Aleph of Yored. So we're not going to get too deep into the Yored discussion, mostly to spare Zachariah. Shmuel, I don't remember. Were you here for Yored last year, Shmuel? That was after you came. It was before you came. But I'm not going to go too deep into the Yored discussion. But what we're interested in here is the halachic theory that you're entitled to be remunerated when you confer a benefit on somebody else. Anybody familiar with that concept in halacha? Yeah, so just a very intriguing halachic principle. We're going to look a little bit into the Yored discussion, but we're mostly interested in its application over here. So the idea is that the makif confers a benefit on the nikaf and is entitled, therefore, to recover partially the costs of building the wall, even if the nikaf doesn't want to participate, right? So you don't need a contract to justify collecting payment for a service. It's sufficient in halacha that you confer a valuable benefit. So we want to just look at the basis of that principle in halacha as understood in this sugya. Everybody clear on that? Okay. Number three, which is closely related, the third thing we want to look for, which is closely related to number two, is what's the measure of remuneration? Right? What's the amount of money you could recover for conferring a benefit? And that's what most of the discussion in the sugya itself is about. To make kinim bizol, agar nata, right? Like, what's the value of the benefit that you could recover for building this wall? Is it 50% of the entire wall, 50% of the fourth wall? Is it just the value of shmira, even if that's less than the cost of the wall? You guys, someone familiar with that, just from the Gemara's back, the discussion on Amorayim and Tanayim here? Yeah. So that's number three. And I'd also say there's an interesting Rashi here, which connects to our Rashbam later on in Bava Basra, that there's something about the fact that the benefit was conferred against his will that explains why he should not have to pay the full value of the benefit. So like, even under the halachic theory providing that a beneficiary has to pay for the service, he doesn't have to pay the full market rate. Like, he gets a discount in virtue of the fact that the benefit was conferred against his will. Right? Does that make sense to you guys? So keep your eyes open for that type of theory. So those are the main three issues we're going to discuss in Makif and Nikaf. On Hey Amid Aleph, did everybody get a chance to see this again, Hey Amid Aleph, with Runya and Ravina? It's a great little story, right? Now, we're going to look at the Yad Ramah there. That's going to take us into a bit of a side discussion, which I'm going to treat as a separate discussion about what's going on in the Gemara. There seems to be that Ravina was entitled to a certain rate of compensation for the benefit he conferred. But I think it was Rava basically gives Runya a discount. Why? Because Ravina didn't sue for the higher amount he was entitled to. Did everybody catch that on the sugya there? We'll see that. So the Yad Ramah wants to know, like, why was Rava able to do that? Like, Rava basically shortchanged Ravina because he saw that Ravina was willing to accept less. And what the Yad Ramah says is that this is a very important sugya for the nature of pshara, that it's better for a dayan to be mefasher in a manner that's acceptable to the parties, rather than apply the Meikar Hadin Jewish law resolution, like what the plaintiff is entitled to Meikar Hadin. So we'll look at that closely. And I'm going to take the liberty just to spend like one or two shiurim on Pshara to explain what's going on in that back and forth on Hey Amid Aleph. Okay? I'm going to assign like just some background in Sugya in Sanhedrin. So like on Hey Amid Aleph there, we'll go into a little detour in Pshara for like two shiurim to explain that sugya. Okay, and that'll be it for that sugya. So I'm thinking that we should spend maybe 2 weeks on Makif, Vinikaf, and Pshara combined. So first we'll let's say about a week and a half on Makif and Nikaf, and then half a week on the Pshar discussion on Hem and Aleph. After that, just to give you guys a sense, we're going to just, I'll assign the Gemara on Hem and Aleph through Daf Zion. But I think we're going to hold off on Cheskas Tashmishin and Cheskas Nezikin until the second para, even though we could treat it over here in the first para. So our next big sugya after Makif and Nikaf, I'm thinking, is going to be Daf Zayin of a base, Kofenoso Libnos Beishar Videles, like a community raising funds for its public goods, and the discussion on Zayin of a base about Rashayin B'nei O'ir, Lamad Al-Kitzasan, et cetera, which is a very nice idea. So that's the agenda for the next few topics. All right? Great. Shkoyach, guys. So next year, in person, Tuesday, NYU, we're going to sink our teeth into Makif and Nika. Great. Shkoyach, everybody.